You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, any last announcements? Okay, if not, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Isaiah chapter 10, verses 20 through 23. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined in the midst of all the land. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray. And for his sake, amen.
Okay. Well, Sip and I went for a nice walk out at Indian Point, and it was really nice last night. And just as the sun was going down, we're getting this beautiful kind of light, this evening light that came on the trees. And so we did something that people, because there's quite a few other people there watching, and they must have thought we were crazy, because here we went around with our cell phones and we went up to the buds on the trees and got real close-up pictures of these buds. And if you ask Seppi, she'll show you some of the pictures. They are absolutely magnificent. And what they are is they're showing you, you know, life starting up again in the spring, and the way that nature works with the budding and the blossoming, and really interesting structures coming out of the trees. Beautiful things. And I was going to show you, but this technology doesn't work too well, you know. PC and iPhone doesn't quite gel very well, but maybe with a bit more effort we'll be able to show you. Well, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee again, Lord, for the time we've got together. We ask you, show us more from thy scriptures, and that we could use these things to edify others. We pray for the nation, Lord, that you'd restore it, and we ask for great leaders to come forward. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay. So this is a picture that I showed you last time. Last time we were studying this idea of the remnant, and I gave you a little sort of a preface to some of the difficulties that we need to talk about and discuss. And so down here you've got there's these nice colors here, reds for the Old Testament scriptures and for the green for the new, and I've got this what's missing, and you can see Matthew, Romans and Revelation, and there's nothing in there that's coming for Ephesians and Colossians. There's nothing there that's really giving us a little bit of feed for the age in which we find ourselves. And that's just interesting to note at the beginning of this whole discussion. And so yeah, I want to ask this question. Are we, quote, the remnant? Now, words. We have words we use in our English language outside of the scriptures. The word remnant is used outside of the scriptures. And so you have the idea of a remnant, that which remains. If you look at anything, you prepare a nice meal, and you might cook more than what you can eat or should eat. And so some of it's left over, right? Some of it's left over. There's a remnant. And that remnant might be kept for maybe another meal later on. But the point is about that remnant is it's part of something larger, right? It's part of some bigger group. And so the remnant here must at least take that idea. So are we the remnant? Well, then we would say, well, of what group? of what group are we the remnant? Right? And then, well, we'll just modify this a little bit more. Are we the remnant of Scripture? That is, when you find the word remnant and you find the subject of the remnant, can we find ourselves in there somewhere? Right? That's what we're trying to address. Now, you can talk about us being a remnant of a kind. The question is, what about the Scriptures? How are we, if we are some kind of remnant, what does the Scriptures say about it? Now, in the book of Romans, when we start to look at this, we find that the remnant comes up. And the remnant comes up also in connection with Gentiles. So that's kind of interesting. So what I want to do is I want to understand, first of all, how Paul uses the word remnant in conjunction with the larger group. Right? So that's the first thing. How is the remnant associated with the larger group? And then secondly, how do Gentiles start getting in on the act? How does it happen in the Scriptures? And then we must ask ourselves more questions. Well, what about today? Because Romans is a part of that economy of the book of Acts. We know that. We understand that. So we can get some instruction. But we must always ask ourselves, well, how does it relate to us? How? And what we'll find is that there are various prophets that come up and scriptures associated with those prophets. And we need to look at these and understand what they say. So let's go across to the book of Romans. And let's read a few passages which relate to this whole subject. So we are looking here at Romans chapter number 9. And I want to get just a little bit of background. So we're not going to rush this. I want you to see this. This has very big implications. And as I've been reading through this, man, I'm starting to see some really big implications from this. Romans 9 verse 1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Conscience. Yes, but this is in the realm of the Holy Spirit of God. We all have what we might have as a conscience telling us things, but we want to make sure that that is being informed by the Spirit of God. And you'll notice how he starts here, I say the truth. Well, we wouldn't expect Paul to say otherwise, right? But why is he saying this? Well, because he's bringing attention to ideas which the Romans must assign to the truth, right? And the truth, in the end, is what matters. Now, you can say, well, okay, truth is what matters. We all know as human beings, we better be a little bit careful about how we present the truth. Right? I mean, you can come up to some person and tell them the truth, and that's absolutely a shame to say it, right? It would be a shame to say it, because you'll offend, and in the end, you won't help. You know, you can say certain things which are absolutely truthful about a person, and then you will do damage. So we understand that. Well, this is not going to be in that category. This is something we can affirm and hold to and scream from the hilltops. I lie not. I lie not. If you look at the strength of that statement in comparison to what John says about where liars end up in that context, in a different context, you'll see how important this issue really is of not being a liar. And then it says in verse 2 that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. And you know, you think about the heaviness and sorrow that we all experience at some stage in our life. I remember my sister dying and hearing this, the fact of her passing, which came to me via a telephone call. And it was a telephone call from my dad, who told me this, you know. And I can remember this just intense sorrow that really I can hardly even express. And it's like the world must stop. The world must stop now. But it doesn't. It doesn't stop. It carries on. And you all will have your own story. Right? You'll have your story. And I think this shows you the heaviness and the tremendous effect this must have had on Paul. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Now you'll notice that he's not just talking about some subgroup. In other words, he's not just talking about the remnant, because if it was, it wouldn't make sense, because the remnant would be faithful. You see, he's talking about the bulk of Israel. And then he goes on, he says, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Man, this is just an amazing list here, isn't it, of what Israel was given. And he goes on, he says, whose are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Man, this is a great commentary on what you find when Christ came. He said himself, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now you can see how Paul confirms this. He doesn't oppose this. He understands it. He realizes the importance of the promises and the covenants and all those great things that were given to his kinsmen. Now, we have on record, unfortunately, that Israel, by and large, was not going to buy into Jesus as the Messiah. Just did not. Rejected this. So in the face of all of these promises and the glory and the covenants and the great place that Israel had, and then the fact that they were not repenting, you've got to ask yourself this question. And so Paul is obviously asking himself, well, what about the Word of God then? What about the Word of God in relationship to their disobedience? Has the Word of God failed? Right? Has the Word of God failed? He says in verse 6, not as though the Word of God hath taken none effect. For, now here he comes, they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So the first thing I want you to see here is that he's talking right in this verse about people who are of Israel. They are of Israel. He is not talking about the Gentiles. He is talking of those that are of Israel. And he's saying they're not all Israel, which are of Israel. And that's easy to understand, certainly as you read on, but we understand that, right? There are a lot of in Israel who simply were disobedient and blew the rodent rasp right at God. And it says this in verse 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You can see the confinement, right, as you're coming down. And he says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, they are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. God has got a promise, and he's going to make this promise come about by a remnant. There's going to be a remnant through which this promise is going to take place. And you can read on down through, and I want you to come down to this in verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children, look at verse 11, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose, now here comes the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And look at verse 12. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And here is the key to understanding this election. It's to do with serving. It's got to do with service. That there was an election whereby a seed would come forward which had the purpose of serving God in a very special way. In a very special way to bring forward conditions under which Messiah could come and reign. And not all would be a part of that. Not all. There was also the function of Israel, that Israel was ultimately to be the salt of the earth and to be this kingdom of priests, to go out and preach the word around the world. Now, you'll notice here I've got the words highlighted, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. The purpose of God according to election. God had chosen the nation of Israel. Israel, according to what we're reading here, as a group, was not being faithful. And only a remnant is found to be so. And in that remnant, God would get his purposes fulfilled. If you come down here, look at this in verse 23. It says, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had before prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now this is where this word starts to come in this passage. I'm just showing you the places where the remnant is used here, right? And we're coming in here, Romans 9:27, right? See down here in Romans 9:27, it says in verse 24, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in OC. That's Hosea. So that he's now going to Hosea. But just notice the way Paul introduces, as he saith also in OC. He's not saying this is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Hosea. I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Now this to me is fascinating, right? Let's just go back now to Hosea. And I want you to find this, to see the fascinating nature of this. And in chapter 2 it says this in verse 1, Hosea 2 verse 1, say ye unto your brethren Ammi and to your sisters Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. And the picture here is remarkable and shows you this wayward woman. And coming down here in verse 14, it says, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her, and will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. Notice the contrast here with that of the land of Egypt when they came out. And it shall be that at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishi, and shall call me no more Baali, For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day will I make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, a covenant with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, and with the creeping things on the ground. I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. Well, this is peace and safety. This is not like what you read by Isaiah, when you get the situation with the lion and the lamb and all this covenant, right, of peace. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness, and in judgment, and loving kindness, and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day, I will hear, saith the Lord, I will hear the heavens, and they shall hear the earth. And the earth shall hear the corn, and the wine, and the oil, and they shall hear Jezreel. And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people, and they shall say, thou art my God. Evidently to do with the nation of Israel. The context here is to do with the nation of Israel. And yet, here in Romans 9, Paul, how is he using this? Look what he says in verse 24, Romans 9, 24. Even us, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in OC, that's where we've been reading, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. He's taken something which has strictly to do with Israel, Judah, and then taken a principle out of that and applied that principle to the Gentiles. Now, to me, that's very interesting, right? Very interesting you would do that. And it says this in verse 27, Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Esaias said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. All right, now, what's the point I'm trying to make here? I'm trying to make this point that there is a context, right, in Isaiah. There is a context in Hosea. The context here relates to the nation of Israel. The context relates to the last days. Right? The last days. And what Paul is doing is, he's taking Hosea, for example, and taking an application for how the Gentiles are being blessed here, and bring forth a principle that even though these people, the nations, that the Gentiles, we call them the nations, these nations, even though they were not given the covenants of promise and all these beautiful things, nonetheless, they are going to be blessed. In the same way that God can bring the nation of Israel who were disobedient, can bring them back, so he can deal with the Gentiles, taking a principle. Okay, cool. So coming back over here, look what he says here. He says, verse 30, what shall we say then, that the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? Now here is the point that's coming out. He's going to justify the inclusion of the Gentiles because they see by faith that which God truly wants, a change in the heart. And he goes on, he says this, look what he says. But Israel, verse 31, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, "But behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Okay, so the Gentiles are getting in on these tremendous promises that were never directly given to them. But they're getting in on it because of their faithful reaction to the truth of the Messiah. That does not change the reality that there was a remnant of Jews who were the true remnant. What I'm trying to say is that there is a demarcation between the remnant, those that were of Israel, right? They were truly of Israel, and they also believed as they should. While the vast majority stumbled, there still was a remnant, and the remnant was that of Israel. That's the point I'm trying to get you to see. And when you see this progression of Gentiles and Romans, get this left skewed distribution, you see that the spike occurs right here in Romans chapter 15. Right there in Romans 15. And it's in Romans 15 and part of chapter 11 where you start to see the inclusion of the Gentile and in terms of their hope and the promises and the things where Isaiah did specifically give truths about the Gentiles and how that they would partake in the hope of Israel. It's still in relationship to Israel. Okay. So, my talk to you today is about the remnant. And in the scriptures, when you find the remnant, it's exclusively given to a part of Israel. That's what you find. And no matter what talk you want to give about your ideas or who we are as a remnant, in the scriptures, the remnant relates to that of Israel, the larger body. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today, Lord, for the scriptures and all that we find in here. We ask as we go through this series, we have more to understand, more to learn, and Lord, more to edify. We thank Thee, our Father, for the grace that is paired to us. We pray for the nation at this time, Lord, as it's going through so much turmoil. And we'd ask, Lord, that great leaders would be raised up. We see that people would stand by the scriptures and look for them rightly divided. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.